Before we start this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including the Stitcher Radio app for your mobile device, iTunes, our website air-raid.net, and of course at www.cairoradio.com. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 256, in what is now officially a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom indeed, folks. We've got a great show planned for you this week. I hope you had a great weekend. Mine, I spent melting in this studio, literally. I'm melting. I think I'm melting in the weather that we're having here in Seattle. It's insane. Happy Pride weekend, by the way. Hope you guys all had a good time there. Great news coming from SCOTUS. Gay marriage, or just marriage, is now legal for everyone, which is fantastic news. If you're somebody who prescribes to my certain way of thinking, I hope you do. It's good stuff, man. Got a lot of friends that were very, very, very happy with this decision because now they can marry their partners, man. They can marry their loved ones. Why is that not a good thing? Come on. Yeah. Pride. Yes. Hashtag love wins. Like I said, we've got a great show planned for you today, this week. Dan Finnerty will be joining us. Dan Finnerty, of course, from the Dan Band. Listen, you know who Dan Finnerty is. Trust me. You absolutely know his work. You may not know his name. You may not know the name of the band, the Dan Band, or if it does ring a bell, of course. Featured prominently in the movie Old School. Also featured prominently in the movie The Hangover, and let's see, Starsky and Hutch. Yeah, man, The Wedding Band, the ubiquitous. That's how you say it, right? This basically changed how people sing Total Eclipse of the Heart forever in every karaoke bar. Every time I see somebody sing Total Eclipse of the Heart, they sing the Dan Band version of that song. Of course, you know what I'm talking about, right? You insert the F word into it. They changed that. They upended the whole karaoke genre, man. Seriously. I mean, there's always those people in the crowd that are gonna now, because of the Dan Band, put the F words and expletives into the songs that they're singing. So we had him here in the backyard, took an Uber up here while they were in Seattle, playing shows at the Parlor in downtown, and was gracious enough to come up to the studio and chat with me for a long time, just about his life and how he basically fell backwards into this whole thing. And oh my God, is it one hell of a story. And I'm really very excited to bring this to you, because it's just an amazing story of how his life has kind of worked out, from being in musicals like Hair and Stomp, to all of a sudden befriending Steven Spielberg and being cast in a role for the movie The Terminal with Tom Hanks. I mean, the guy has just lived a life, my friends, and he's going to tell it all here on the Air Raid Podcast, kind of coming up real soon. They've also got a full-length album coming out fairly soon. Let's see if I can find this on their freaking website here. You can find their website at thedanband.com. And where's the I can't find it. It's coming out soon. He's going to talk about it anyway. It's going to be in there. But they are playing some shows coming up July 11th at Joe's Pub in New York City. Right there. July 17th at the Aztec Theater, San Antonio, Texas. July 18th, House of Blues in Houston, Texas. And then July 25th at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills, California. So there you go. Go to thedanband.com. Find out more. I can't wait to bring this to you. But before we do, we got to get serious for a moment, if we could. We're all aware of the earthquake that shook Nepal a little while ago, and Seattle. The good people at do206.com are putting on a benefit concert for the people of Nepal. It's called Seattle for Nepal with Kathy Moore, R.L. Heyer, Barrett Martin, Mike Musburger, Kim Virant, Jamie Nova, Jeff Fielder, and Sean Smith. July 8th, that's a Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. at the Triple Door. Tickets are only $20, and all of the proceeds go to help the people of Nepal. I would highly suggest if you're in the Seattle area that you go and do this, because it's for a great charity. Okay. Back in April, of course, the Nepal earthquake killed more than 8,800 people and injured more than 23,000. Magnitude is 7.8 to 8.1 and was the worst natural disaster to strike Nepal since 1934. Hundreds of thousands of people made homeless, entire villages just totally flattened, and a couple of people, I think a couple of girls just out of high school who were traveling around from Seattle lost their lives in this tragic earthquake. So go to this, all right? $20 in advance, $25 day of. You can also purchase a VIP ticket for $40 to hear some fantastic music right there at the Triple Door, Wednesday, July 8th at 8:30 p.m. Go to do206.com and type in Seattle for Nepal in the search bar, and you should come right up with it, okay? All right. So, serious stuff over. Let's get into it, shall we? Let's go ahead and just play Total Eclipse of the Heart by the Dan Band. I don't know what it is about this, but I don't laugh when people do it in karaoke. I kind of am sick of it, but hearing this, re-listening to this by the Dan Band, had me in stitches, all right? If I could be cliche for a moment. So this is Total Eclipse of the Heart, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for... See, I'm already laughing. I'm already laughing. Oh, with more for your ears. Stay with us, everybody. Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all my years have gone by. Every now and then I get a little bit terrified. I see the fucking look in your eye. Every now and then I fall apart.
Now there's only love in the dark.
Can I swear on this thing?
Yeah, you can, man. All right. No FCC rules here.
All right.
Come on. It's the backyard.
I love it. When did we start?
Yeah, it's going.
Oh, my God, it's going?
Yeah.
How
yeah.
am I doing? I feel
You're
good
doing
about
okay.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a little bead of sweat just like
it's just,
forming
well, it's
on your
here.
Forehead. It's hot as shit.
It's fucking, we're in the backyard.
Yeah.
The fan's pointing at you, I notice.
No. Mm-hmm. Is it? Should
well,
I change that?
No, don't get up. I'm kidding.
No.
I was just trying to attack you in front of your fans. Get it? You can rotate it. It's a Polonis
well,
sponsor.
That's right.
Yeah.
Brand new sponsor of the show.
Uh-huh. Polonis fans.
That's right. I got pissed off at that fan one night. And I have an issue that I've been working on for some years now.
What is it?
It's called an anger issue.
Oh, all right. Well, I'd like to see this unravel.
I don't even remember why I got annoyed at it. But it was like making this, I think it was like this clicking noise. And so I just bashed it
uh-huh.
with my hand, which was probably not the greatest idea. Now it doesn't do the rotating thing.
It was doing it for you, clicking. Yeah, it just
yeah.
needed, the button was stuck.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Did you
and
learn
now
that?
It doesn't do any of that.
It won't rotate.
Yeah. And like my parents, like we were talking about earlier before we started recording, I can't get rid of anything. So
not your parents?
Can't get rid of my parents.
They're
can't
still
get rid
alive.
Of my Polonis fan.
Oh.
You know?
I could finger it for you and see if I can get it to move. I've got some skills.
You got some.
If you have a Zima or a wine cooler, I just need that to get primed. But then
do they even make those anymore?
You'll see. What, yeah. Zima?
Zima.
No.
I don't think so.
I think they sell them in Japan. Actually,
that makes
Google
sense.
It. Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think Hard Lemonade took over.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. There was Two Dogs for a little while, like Hard Lemonade. Do you remember that?
Uh-uh.
Two Dogs? Maybe that was a Washington thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
remember that.
Like
when I was in high school, that stuff was everywhere.
Yeah. We had wine coolers, like 2 liters of strawberry blush wine coolers.
Sure.
That was our thing.
Like Seagram's and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. How
We're
old
good.
Are you?
45.
You're 45?
Yeah. So I'm older than you. I could tell
yes.
by your face. Looks so young and fresh.
My young face.
Yeah.
I just turned 35 yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Was my birthday.
Happy birthday. Did you get my
Thank
card?
You. I did. Oh. It was fantastic.
Uh-huh.
The picture of your balls was very...
Just the one, though.
Just the one.
Yeah.
Because
I don't
of
show
surgery.
The other one. Yeah. Because of the surgery and the discoloration.
Right. You don't want to show that to anybody.
It's orange.
It's embarrassing.
It's like Ralph Malph orange.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is starting off... It's going quick.
It's great.
I like this.
So that's it. We're done.
I think we can call it a show. Uh-huh. Dan Finnerty joining me in the backyard. Dan, of course, is the front man to the Dan Band, which has been featured on The Hangover and Old School. And I think I've seen you in other movies as well. Is that
true? I'm just so impressed you didn't say Wedding Crashers. Because sometimes
Wedding
I
Crashers.
Arrive at... I wasn't in Wedding Crashers.
Well, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, but people think I was.
Okay.
And sometimes venues even put it on the poster, which is excellent research.
Wedding
on
Crashers. There.
Yeah, Wedding Crashers. And,
right.
And Porky's.
Porky's.
I wish.
Oh, my
I know.
God. Wouldn't that have been fun?
I'm still waiting for Porky's 3 in 3D. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great.
Be hot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Through
yeah.
the hole. You know what I mean?
Through the...
Woo, come
I
on.
Love it.
What are we saying? Oh, I was in Starsky and Hutch.
Starsky and Hutch?
Uh-huh.
Was it the band that was in Starsky and Hutch?
It was a bat mitzvah scene.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I had
okay.
a big red afro.
Oh, cool.
Looked like a little
I'm
orphan
I'm going to have to
Danny.
Go back and check that out again.
Yeah, Google
I
it.
Saw it when it came out.
It's worth a look.
That was a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like myself in it.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you like that? Do you go back and watch your scenes in these movies
oh,
every
people
once in a
reference
while?
Scenes in Old School all the time, and I'm like, oh, I only saw the actual movie once, you know, like
really?
I go back and watch my scenes over and over, but
yeah.
like, I don't, I'm like, tell
yeah,
me what
you
happens.
Could give a shit
yeah.
about anybody else.
Yeah. That's what a narcissist I am.
Well, yeah, I started this thing. Come
yeah,
on.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you ever just do it with no guest and you just talk alone?
I have before. It's been kind of like each one that I do like that has been like some sort of like seriousness has happened.
Uh-huh. Were you working through the anger issues?
That and I helped get a woman out of a, you know, those donation bins, those clothing donation bins.
Yeah.
So I did a whole episode on this, so I'll make it short, but I was driving my scooter home from my day job and saw this woman trying to take clothes out of this bin. It was a very, very hot day. It was, you know, abnormally hot for the time of season. This was a year ago. And I didn't really think anything of it. You know, I was like, huh, you don't see that every day, right? And then all of a sudden, I have my my headphones in underneath my helmet, you know, and I'm sitting
not
in traffic.
Headphones.
Not these headphones, little earbuds.
Yeah.
And probably listening to the Dan Band.
Good answer.
Yeah.
All right. Makes me like you more.
And I hear this, like, I can hear this kind of like faint screaming, right?
Like,
and I
look, how'd it sound?
How'd it sound?
Yeah.
It's like, ah, rah, help me, help me.
Oh, you know, that's good. All right, I just needed an audio for that.
Yeah, sure. I look over, and the only thing sticking out of the mouth of this clothing thing, which, by the way, is, you know, 7 feet tall, steel
right.
box,
oh.
on a really hot day, and the only thing I see sticking out of this, the hole, is this woman's leg,
oh.
right? She's upside down.
Oh my God!
Clamped down on this thing because, you know, the doors in those are made so you can't really get into it,
right? Like
steel
the garbage
clothes.
In an airplane bathroom,
right? Yeah. So it's got double doors on the thing, and so it's clamped down on her leg. I go into, you know, just like holy shit mode, and I'm looking around to see if anybody else sees this, and nobody gives a fuck.
People saw it, but they just kept walking.
Dude, there was a guy on the sidewalk.
They
no earbuds.
Someone donated
in.
A leg. That's what
right. And then they were just screaming on the inside, right? She was banging on this thing. I could hear her through my helmet, through my headphones. There's this guy walking on the sidewalk right past it, right? And just kept on walking. Was just looking at his cell phone, just kept on walking.
Ugh.
And so I went up and I grabbed that guy. I was like, you need to come and help me. And so went up there, and the thing had just like stripped a huge amount of skin off of her leg. And it was like, you know, it was really gross. And we eventually got her out and stuff, but yeah, so stuff like that. When I do a show by myself, I'm just like, you know,
back here
telling the tale of being a hero.
Yeah,
you know,
you got a Clark Kent thing going on.
I
can see that.
Yeah. I take the glasses off. Nobody knows it's me.
No, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you kept in touch with Bin Lady?
No, I was fairly positive she was homeless.
Uh huh.
You know, so no, haven't seen her again. Well. But they took that bin away. It's no longer there because it was probably just covered in blood.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
ruined it for everybody. No.
Poor lady.
Too soon.
Oh, my God. Too soon. It's been a year. It's
yeah,
fine.
She's over
it's
it.
Fine. You can joke about
all
it.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So, Dan, where did music start for you, man? Like, has it always been a thing in your life?
Well, no, because I grew up in this little farm town in upstate New York.
Okay, where?
Bath, New York.
Okay.
Yeah. It's near Rochester and Corning, home of the glass.
Okay.
Yeah. And but it's really...
No
it's
idea
like,
what that means.
Corning home glass? You've never heard of Corning glass?
No.
Come on. It's what made your... Well, you have a Samsung. I was going to say your iPhone. But that, it's like that glass on an iPhone is from Corning glass.
Really?
Yeah. Google it.
I thought it all came from China.
Well... I'm sure it does eventually. It rounds through. It started in Corning. But it's like farm, dairy farms and things like that. And, you know, I always liked music, but I was so like small town that I just listened to what the radio told me to. And I
sure.
liked whatever, you know, Casey Kasem said I was supposed to like.
Yeah.
And I had an older sister who I still do, and she's still older. And I thought she was cool, so I just listened to whatever she listened to. So I was like, Laura Branigan kicks ass. You know what I mean? And, you know, she sang Gloria. I don't know if you're old enough. And
yeah.
All my friends had older brothers and they listened to, you know, everything you're supposed to, like Led Zeppelin and Rush and things like that. And
right.
I just had no idea. And like, I got asked to step away from a DJ table at a dance where they were like, bring your own 45s, you know? And I brought Karma Chameleon. And he was like, please step away. You know, but that was a bad year. I had like white parachute pants that unzipped and revealed black and, you know, Van sneakers. And I actually got pushed into lockers one day by these farmers who were like, get some fucking real jeans and some real shoes.
Oh, no shit.
That was my big, yeah.
So you were picked on. You were kind of the nerd of the town?
I was the fucking, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Because in my town, you had to be a farmer or a jock.
Right.
And otherwise, you just didn't fit in. Those were
right.
the two categories.
Right.
And I was the guy walking around in parachute pants and with a Karma Chameleon 45 in my back pocket.
Yeah,
yeah, man.
I'm cool. Why doesn't anybody realize that this is cool?
This is cool, you guys. Yeah.
Boy George, man.
Come on,
he was all over MTV.
He was the original Caitlyn.
The original Caitlyn
Jenner.
Oh, okay.
He's trying to keep
that's
it current.
True. Yeah. Right. Right. So, not a lot of music happening in the house, though, like not musical instruments, your parents into music, anything like that?
No, my dad was a judge, and my mom was like head of Republican Women and a math teacher.
No shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it was like the Republicans of, I don't know. In my town, there were no social issues. It was all about, keeping their cash. That kind
right,
of, yeah.
right.
But, yeah, that's a whole side story. But, yeah, so nobody was into music. It was pretty conservative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty strict household?
Having
the dad as
way.
A judge, yeah. that seems like there would be some turmoil there when you turn into a teenager.
Yeah, because you can't get away with shit. Because right. he was a lawyer, then he was a district attorney. So, like...
Oh, wow.
You know, and he argued... He knew every trick, you know what I mean?
Right.
If I came home with, like, a Tic Tac in my mouth, he's like, what have you been drinking? Do you know what I mean?
Right, right.
I'm like, Zima.
Seagram's.
Yeah, man.
Peach Passion.
Yeah, Strawberry Blush.
That's right. So just kind of the hits, man. Were you always just, like, when did music kind of enter, though?
Well,
you
started
playing it.
Yeah, what the... I played trombone. I was first trombone in the band.
Oh,
there
yeah.
was only
so
you're
trombone. Really just sealing that nerd capsule. That
yeah,
you
I was
were,
just embracing
were.
It. Yeah, but I was the only trombone player, so that's how I was so proud of my first trombone position.
Yeah,
but I quit that in eighth grade when I realized like this is there's a spit valve. That's just there's got to be boundaries somewhere. You know what I mean? Did you play anything? Well, you play guitar.
Guitar.
Yeah.
Never. I always wanted to play a wind instrument. I always wanted to play trumpet. Uh-huh. And then I borrowed one in college for a little while and just realized that... Because I've got no staying power with anything. I've got no willpower, So, like, with the exception of this show. But I could never, just sit down and pick up a new instrument and really learn it.
We could do this right now. I could teach you
Did
trombone.
Did you bring a trombone with you?
I have one right here. It's in my pants.
Gross.
It's rusty. Oh, my God.
Oh.
Come on. Yeah, but I got in a play. That's what happened. That's what really started it, is I got in some senior play. They needed a kid.
Uh-huh.
And I was, like, the only little singing freak in the town that would just, like, skip.
So you were singing?
Well, yeah. I mean, I
the
would
whole
just.
Time.
Yeah. I was, like, a little smartass, too, and I was at a Catholic school and, always in trouble for, like, lack self-discipline, which I think
sure.
is. Yeah. They always wrote that on my report card, but. It kind of defined it. That's all I remember about myself is that I lacked self-discipline. You know
right.
what I mean? Because they constantly
right.
told me that. So I think that's, carried through in my whole life. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
that's what it is. Those nuns beat it into my head. But yeah, so they knew I was a little smartass and they got me. They're like, who's the only, alternative boy in the town? And they're like, get little Danny Finnerty. He's going to grow up one day and sing girl songs and have a Karma Chameleon 45 in his back pocket. So I was in The Music Man, and from there, it's like, I was like, I love it when they all like me,
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
In this little
yeah.
town.
Were, always kind of, were you kind of a class clown as well?
Yeah, I did earn that little title on my yearbook.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was the same way. And I always think back, like, there's little brain worms that get in there every once in a while, right, where you just kind of, like, remember something that you did when you were younger.
Like a class clown highlight.
Yeah, something like that. Like where you were being a jackass, right? Not
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you, but myself. And it'll just like enter my brain and I'll just be like, oh my God. Like I'll just be embarrassed
yeah.
for myself. Like, does anybody else remember that? I hope
oh,
not.
Yeah.
I hope oh. not.
Like, what'd you do? Like, what's one of your highlights?
Oh, fuck, dude. I took there was this great class that I was in high school. It was creative writing class or something like that. And I loved the teacher, but I was such a jackass.
Like, were you in love with the teacher? Or?
No. I just loved her. She was great. She was such a great teacher. She really opened my mind when it came to like creative writing and that kind of thing. And there was this broken chair in there that like would click if you like kind of bounced up and down on it.
Like your fan.
Right.
Yeah. You hate yeah. clicking. That's why I you hate clicking. Yeah.
But I embraced the clicking during this circumstance and I basically just like clicked it throughout the whole class, and she kept on like getting more and more pissed off, but like the people sitting around me like thought it was funny, so right. I just kind of kept amping it up, right, to the point where at one point I turned the chair over, got on it, and rid it like a horse.
As you should.
As right.
Yeah, it was begging right. to be ridden like that.
But I just, that memory entered my brain just a few nights ago, and I was like, oh,
what were you doing?
God. I was just laying there.
Oh, all right. I thought you were writing something.
No.
Oh, all right.
No, it's just, every once in a while, it'll just enter my brain space, and I'll just be like, man, I should really find that teacher and just apologize.
Or find the chair and keep writing.
Just come keep on. Going with
Class
it.
Half full. Yeah, I have stories like that too. Like, we were in French club because we took.
You were such a nerd.
But I didn't realize it at the time. I thought right. it was really cool. And but in my, it's such a small town. Like, they have stupid clubs. So like, if you right. were in French, they had French club, which meant that like every couple months they'd have an event in the cafeteria where you'd speak French, you know, and it was a way to practice your français.
Yeah.
And like, I took 5 years of French, and that's the most French I can speak is what I just did right there by saying français.
Yeah.
Cause I think I cheated off my girlfriend for like 2 full years, but, whatever. So we had a French club Christmas party and we had to bring a gift, you know, that like white elephant game where everyone brings a gift and you put it under the tree and then you draw numbers and someone can pick a gift. And
sure.
So the biggest gift is usually, you know, people go for that first. And I convinced my friend Mike to, bring dog shit. I was like, just get a giant box and go in your backyard, because they never cleaned up their dog shit in the backyard. And I'm like, his dog's name was Freckles. I'm like, just go get Freckles, you know, all the bullshit back there, put it in this box. So it has some weight to it to really fool someone. And he wrapped it beautifully. Like he got the skills of 1,000 mall department store wrappers and like did the scissor thing with the curls on the ribbon.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
that
he really did it.
Very impressive stuff. And he set it down. And as they were going around, this girl, it was like a scene out of Carrie. You know what I mean? Like where Sissy Spacek comes up and picks the box. I'm like, no, not her, because she was so tragically shy and awkward and didn't have any friends. And it was just really, I was like, oh my God, we're the pig's blood. You know, it was like, we're all going to die right now. And so I was like, Diane, no. And she opened the box and it was full of shit. And Mike Clancy was my friend. And he started laughing so hard. And so she knew it was him. And she was like, Mike Clancy. And she threw it at him. And then he like volleyballed it over
deflected.
To me. Yeah, like a superhero, just shot it, and it was coming at me, and then I kicked it, but right at the bottom, the base of the box, which then just propelled the shit everywhere, and it splattered on the presents and on the chairs, like the cafeteria pink chairs, and it was just such a needle scratch on the French club party. We were like, je suis sorry. Anyway, and it was the same thing. Like, she was my favorite teacher, Mrs. Hagedorn.
Uh-huh.
And she was so nice. And then her husband was like everyone else's favorite teacher. He was a math teacher. And he was on the lookout for Mike and I the whole next day, because his wife had come home crying that, you know, Danny Finnerty and Mike Clancy ruined the Pierre Noel, whatever it was, at the party.
Shit.
And I just kept hiding from him the whole day. He still hasn't found me. Like, Mike Clancy got like the crazy fingers dug into his shoulders. And
oh, yeah.
I was like in every janitorial closet and, you know, hiding in the dugouts.
Well, more power to you, man.
I beat the system.
Yeah, you beat it.
You're like, well, Mr. Hagedorn's here today. Come on out, Tom.
So I want to get back to like this play that you were in. So it was The Music Man.
It was The Music Man.
Right. And you just had such a great time. Like, was it really like just the, you know, the applause and people paying attention to you that really got you about that? Or was there any kind of like, I like this art form to it?
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, the older I get, I can recognize that I'm probably in a town where I didn't necessarily fit in. And then suddenly everybody was like loving me and cheering. And I was
right.
like, this is the thing I'm good at. Look at that. I made all these people like me. So that made me think I liked acting, but I really didn't. What I liked was I knew I could sing, and you know, so I started doing plays, and I actually went to Emerson College and studied acting and like production stuff. And but I've realized over the years that I wasn't ever really like, I don't give a shit about acting. And like, I'll play myself. That's about as deep as I can go.
Right.
And,
right.
But it was always singing that I liked and being a smartass. You know what I mean? So when that's being able to merge those two worlds together is what finally clicked when I was like, you know, just how you realized I just want to talk to myself in the backyard if I,
exactly.
If I find a homeless lady who needs help.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so the damn band is just like this excuse to take the parts of myself that I think are worthwhile.
Sure.
Worth love.
And turn it into a real thing.
Yeah.
So when did like the first band experience, what was that? Did you start one in high school?
No, because the other thing about my town is so the categories were farmer, jock.
Right. So it was all country music.
Well, yeah, kind of. But then there were stoner kids that really started bands, and they had like pyrotechnics, and they were always like almost
what? Really?
Like shitty ones, you know what
okay.
I mean? Like
yeah, but still, that's pretty
like
impressive.
Fireworks from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, right. Where our whole town, by the way, went on vacation. Every spring break, the entire town of Bath, New York, would go to Myrtle Beach in a crazy convoy all the way down. It was like a 17-hour drive, and everyone did it every spring break, and everyone stayed in like a 10 hotel radius. So you'd see Mr. Hagedorn on the beat. You know what I mean? Like,
dude,
it's the weirdest thing in the world.
That is super weird. And that would be kind of my personal nightmare.
It's like, great though. If I get it now, like if you have kids, then your kids.
Well, sure. But if you're the kid, right? Like I had kind of the same problems in high school too. Like I didn't feel like I really fit in anywhere. Right. There were a lot of people that didn't like me at all because I was the fucking loud, you know, obnoxious kid, you know, that was constantly like weaseling his way into the party or something like that.
Right.
And so I can just imagine like if like my whole hometown would go to the same spot and I wouldn't be able to kind of reinvent myself for a couple weeks during like a road trip or something, you know,
that would
just be my personal fucking nightmare.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think, you know, the parents are psyched that the kids have someone to play with.
Sure,
but
sure.
Your parents wouldn't have been because they would still be, you know, looking for someone to like you.
Yeah, right exactly.
But in South Carolina.
Exactly. Yeah. You've got a good read on me right now.
I'm getting you. So what am I saying? Myrtle Beach. Why did I say that? Vacation, Bath, stoners, pyrotechnics, Myrtle Beach.
Right. First band. Yeah.
So I never dared to start a band because they were, you know, I mean, it was like, you know, Motley Crue and David Lee Roth were like the big influences going on
sure,
in my class,
sure.
In the class of 88.
Yeah. Were you not into that?
No, I was
you were still into like Boy George and,
I mean,
and
I really, the Boy hits. George thing is a joke. Like I really
oh,
only
okay.
knew that one song, but,
oh, okay.
No, but I did like, I mean, really because my sister liked Total Eclipse of the Heart. She had the record. She had,
sure.
You know what I mean? That's what made me choose Total Eclipse of the Heart for old school is because
right.
It was just such a classic memory of me being, you know, 13 or whenever it came out or 14.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I just like pop music. It wasn't going to fit in. And it wasn't until really, even all during college, I wanted to start a band and just never did. And I was skipping way ahead after I like did a European tour of Hair and out of college and then did Stomp. But when I finished Stomp, my friend in Los Angeles was like, will you come open for me? I'm doing this set and I want it to look like I'm headlining. So I need someone to open. So just come sing three songs and then I'll come out as a headliner. And
yeah,
I was like, what do you want me to sing? And she's like, sing whatever you want. And my last night of Stomp, the cast had taken me out and there was karaoke and we were just at a bar drinking and there was karaoke and I was drunk enough to get up and sing I Am Woman.
Uh-huh.
I think it'd be funny. And it kind of was funny. And then I also was like, that song kicks ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Like, it's
yeah.
just got such an epic bridge and everything. And so I was like, well, I'll sing I Am Woman because I just sang that and it was fucking awesome. And then I sang You Light Up My Life, but like a punk version of it, or like, you know, like surfer punk.
Sure.
And then I think I sang Flashdance. And some guy came up to me and I was just fucking around. And this guy came up and he's like, do you have a postcard? I'm like, for what? And he's like, your next show, when's your next show? I'm like, fucking never. You know, he's like, he's like, well, I booked a Viper room, and if you will make this like a 30-minute set, I think it'd be really funny. And, you know, call me if you want to. And I was like, all right. So I put together, I borrowed my friend's band. It was just a guy in bongos, you know, keyboard player and acoustic guitar. And we went and put, I added a bunch more songs that were all girl songs, because that's when I realized, you know, I was like, oh my God, I guess the girl song thing is funny. It was like an easy, it was an easy way for me to really sing the shit out of songs that I secretly liked. But
right, right.
Under the guise of like, isn't this funny that I'm a guy singing it, but not making fun of it.
Well, it becomes part of the bit. Right. Right.
It's so cheap. I mean, I feel like people give me way too much credit for like, it's groundbreaking. I'm like, not really. You know what I mean? I'm just singing a Shakira medley, really, without changing the pronouns. But yeah, and then we started playing with the Pussycat Dolls. They had just formed, but the original Pussycat Dolls, they were all dancers in LA that were just doing a burlesque thing, you know, lip syncing to like, you give me fever. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and they'd go
down
to like almost a pasty. But and through that, now I've skipped all over the place. But that's when the band really started.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the first band was basically the Dan Band.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the only band. The Dan Band. Yeah.
First and only.
Because that, after that, I started playing at Largo, which is a comedy club in LA. And,
totally.
And I slowly added people. Like, I'd done this sitcom where, and there's a guy that was another guest star on the sitcom, and he came and saw the show, and he's like, you need backup singers. And I'm like, I know, I want to get old ladies to be my backup singers. Like,
that's a fucking great idea.
I know, it would have been, I mean, thank God I didn't, because they would have died by now. You know what I mean? And that would have broke my heart. But, and left me in a lurch. But, so he's like, what if I'm one of your backup guys? And I'm like, well, that could be funny if we just make it all guys in the band. And he's like, okay. And he brought one of his friends in, and he's like, what should we wear? And I was like, well, I'm wearing what I wear every day, which is like a gas station shirt. And
yeah,
I mean, honestly, this is like my nice shirt. It's a light blue gas station shirt, but,
well, it looks clean.
It is clean. Good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty clean.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, if I'm the gas station guy, let's make you guys like the accountants, you know what I mean? Or if I'm the janitor, you guys would be like the, you know, substitute teachers.
The sharp dressed guys and the three piece suit. Yeah.
Yeah. Who don't know why they're there or why they're doing these moves. That's the whole thing I always tell them. I'm like, don't look like you're enjoying it. Don't look like you know why you're there. Just do the cartwheels and crawl through the hula hoop and shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? But I just feel like it's the mad fucking high school janitor who's like, the only people he can control are the substitute teachers that don't know any better. You know?
That's great, man.
Yeah,
well, let's do this. Let's go to our second musical break, and we're going to feature music today from the Dan Band. Is that okay?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sick of myself, but it's for the kids.
It's for the kids.
Yeah.
That's right. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest this week, Dan Finnerty. Be back in a moment.
That dumpster.
That's right. Where's that
girl?
I'm
going to be the fucking hero now. I'm at least going to tell your story like it's mine. No one needs to know.
Yeah, that's fine. You can have it.
All right, good.
You can have it.
Yeah.
So you said earlier that you were in productions of Hair. You were in productions of Stomp.
Yeah.
Like, how did that all come about? That was after college, obviously, right?
Yep.
So you majored in performance?
Acting.
In acting.
Yeah, which is really when I realized, like, oh, I don't fucking care about acting.
Right, right. So why did you go, why did you keep pursuing it, though?
Oh, because I'd already, you know, I kind of stepped into the track and was just going to finish it out. But, and it was fun. I had a good time at Emerson College in Boston. I love Boston and, you know, I had fun and whatever. But then when I graduated, a friend of mine had just gotten in this production of Hair, the American Tribal Love Rock musical, is what it says on the cover of the script. And the guy who wrote it, James Rado, had just gotten the rights back. So he didn't have the rights for 25 years or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so he got the rights back in Europe only for like 5 years. And so he started this production that he directed. And my friend got in it. And so she called and was like, when you guys graduate, you have to come out here. It's a free trip through Europe. And
you
just are on a bus. And
just touring around to all sorts of countries.
Yeah, mainly like Germany and Switzerland.
Oh, okay.
So I've learned restaurant German.
Like, right.
Happens a case of brot mit Schinken, bitte? I mean, it's more French than I learned in 5 years. I know how to ask for a ham and cheese sandwich and like, wo ist der Toiletten? You know.
Yeah, right.
Survival. Right.
Well, that's pretty cool, man. So, I mean, what parts were you playing in these shows?
Well, do you know Hair at all?
Not really. I've never really been into musicals at all. So.
All right, simmer down. This is a rock musical.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know some of the songs. Like, Aquarius, Let the Sun Shine In.
Sure, yeah, sure.
It's from that.
Of course.
But it really is really good rock music. And but the guy, it's all about the hippie, you know, culture and everything. And
right.
The guy who wrote it, I think he went bald and he wears a wig. I just outed him right here. But it's so awful to write Hair and then slowly
not
go
have
bald.
Any.
Yeah, and then wear a wig. Even
the irony.
I know. Life. It'll get you. But I played this guy, Woof, whose big song was Sodomy.
What?
Yeah. My mom came to the show and was horrified, but whatever. And everyone gets naked in the end of the first act. It's called a bee, and it's like some big protest where they take off all their clothes and protest the Vietnam War. And
Were you actually nude on stage?
Well, it was optional. And when I first got in, I was playing this other part, and I had to be off stage in that particular scene.
Yeah.
So when I got upgraded to this other character, they were like, well, you know, you can still just sing on the offstage mic during the scene. I'm like, hell yeah. I'm not fucking taking off my clothes with my white ass. So people get naked, though.
Yeah.
It's worth the Google.
Well, now I'm going to go see Hair.
You're going to see Hair now. So I did, what am I saying? I did Hair for a year, which was great. And went all over, like I said, Germany and Switzerland. And then moved to New York City and was like going to start trying out for shows and you know, I wanted to just check off Broadway and then move to LA, and my whole goal was to be like, you know, the like schlubby fucking neighbor on some sitcom who just comes in every seven pages, you know,
I
could and says some smart ass thing in a hoodie and then goes back and eats the food backstage, you know what I mean?
Sure, like, yeah,
just chill out,
just chills at the craft service table.
I moved to I was going to move to LA, and then I tried out for Stomp as a joke, you know, because I wasn't getting in any plays. And I'm stopping a boring story right now. I was like, that's why I paused, because I was like, don't fucking tell the boring ass story. But
no, I want to hear that. I want to hear this, man. This is interesting.
No, come on.
This is all about you.
Oh, it's me. It's
how you got it. It's how you got it to where you're at, man. Mm-hmm. It's all part of the story.
All right, shit. Well, there's another rock musical called Tommy by The Who.
Yeah, of course.
So that was also one I was like, I could get in that. That'd be fun to be in because, you know, I had no interest in being in like Oklahoma or anything where there's like a bunch of
sure
kicks in the air and things. So I kept auditioning for Tommy, and there was a lot of dancing, and I suck at dancing. So the casting director came up to me and she's like, Dan, if you could get through the dance audition, you'd be in Tommy right now because they all want you, but you suck at the dancing. And I was like,
just uncoordinated. Yeah. I just can't get
couldn't compete with all these like chorus boys that were just off of like a Cats tour. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so she's like, go take a dance class at Broadway Dance Center. So I go to this Broadway Dance Center class with my backwards baseball hat, my Converse sneakers and sweatpants. And
yeah.
And it's all these guys in like leotards and dancing the shit out of themselves. And I just stood there and was like crashing into metal folding chairs and like, it was a nightmare. And So
really?
Oh yeah. No, I tried it. I was really like, come on, Dan, just do this. You know, like, cause I was a waiter. Like I just wanted to not be a waiter. And, so I walked out of there. I'm like, this is ridiculous. And then my friend was like, I have a friend who's in Tommy and he'll, as a favor to me, he'll teach you the audition routine, you know? Yeah. So just go rent a studio for an hour. So I paid like $20. This nice guy came over and taught me all of Pinball Wizard, right?
Really?
So, yeah. Which I was like, it felt like cheating, but it was fucking genius, you know?
And yeah,
I drew out, I had a little piece of paper and cause he kept counting like four ands and all these, I'm like, look, I'm going to draw this out with stick figures. Like the hands here, the knees here. And I just kept flipping through this little notebook. The next day was my audition. And I like went to the roof of my building, like a scene out of like Urban Footloose, where I was like, had my headphones on the,
you were
like,
doing the dance
nine in the morning.
The,
I was doing the dance.
Oh my God.
And I was so fucking confident that like I'd whip off a page. It would blow off onto Ninth Avenue, you know,
shut the fuck.
Yeah.
Up.
I was like, I don't need that anymore. Cause I fucking know it, you know? And I was doing the routine. Like I walked to this audition. Yeah. I mean, there should have been a soundtrack just as I strutted down the sidewalk. Cause I was like,
right.
Today's the day I get in fucking Tommy. Like, it, no question, you know?
Right.
And I went and I like sang the shit out of the dumb song and then went to the front of the dance line, which I'd never done. I always went to the back in the corner. And
so this
like,
is with it. This is like the audition where like there's a ton of people doing the same thing at the same time.
Probably 25 guys and the choreographer. And
right.
So I would always stand in the back and basically hold a sign that said, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Like for what you're about to see. But this, I walked to the front and the casting director was just beaming like, oh, I can't wait to see what you prepared. And
he's gonna bust it out.
Yeah, and I really was just like, step aside, motherfuckers. Like, you, give me some room because I'm about to spin. And the choreographer goes, I'm so sick of doing Pinball Wizard. Let's do Sensation today.
Oh, shut the
fuck up is right. And I just stared at him and then slowly like backed to my position, put my I'm sorry sign up and linked. And they started dancing around me. And the casting director looked disappointed. And I was like, oh, motherfucker. And I just did the slow walk back in the same footprints. I just
How do you think that story is boring? That's an amazing story.
All right, that's good. Well, because it still hurts my feelings.
Yeah. Oh, my God, man.
But what's crazy is
Wow.
I walked down the street to this place, Time Cafe, that's no longer there. But it was like a epic New York restaurant. Like an Astor place. And my friend Ethan was he worked there. And so he'd always give me free bagels and, you know, he'd like slide me a muffin or something when I walked by. And, so I walked in, I was like, he's like, what's up? I'm like, oh my God, fucking told him the Tommy story. And I'm like, I can't stand it. I can't wait tables anymore. I'm going to kill myself. And he gave me a fucking bagel and a muffin. And, he's like, well, Stomp's auditioning around the corner. There's a line down the street.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you try out for that? And I'm like, what are you, crazy? And Stomp, do you know Stomp?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
It seemed, if you don't know about it, it just seems like a percussive dance show, but there's no dancing in it. It just looks like they're dancing because they're stomping with their feet.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's crazy. But once you're in New York City, once you're up and showered, like, you may as well stay out. You know what I mean? Because I also didn't want to do my, like, five-floor walk up. You know what I mean? I wasn't going to walk those steps again. So I'm like, well, I'm out.
So that's what got you to.
I'm not kidding. I was like,
to stomp.
I didn't want to walk because it was hot out. So I was like, I need to, you know, stay in one place and eat this fucking bagel. And like, I ate the bagel and like part of the muffin while I waited in line for Stomp. And every time I got called back, I kept getting called back because I didn't give a shit about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I was like, I'm just here because it's air conditioned.
Well, you can hold a beat too. I mean, that's the main important part in a show like that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
but everyone there can pretty much because a lot of them are drummers and a lot of dancers too are in it. But there's one part in the show where it's basically like the class clown fuck up who, while they do amazing shit, he goes flying into the garbage cans in the side. You know what I mean? And like cans go rolling. I'm like, I can do that.
That's,
you know,
the part.
That's my life. Like, that's all I do is like,
I just did that
shit
right down the street. You
two
guys
minutes ago. Yeah. For free. I just hit the mic. So every time they call me back, I lost a little respect for them because I'm like, it was the British cast replacing themselves. They were hiring an American cast to go out and tour.
Right.
And I was like, they fucking checked out of this show. They don't care anymore. Like I had 12 callbacks and,
well, you're doing something right, man.
But then I didn't get in. That's the
Oh, okay.
So then I get a call that's like, Dan, there's good news and there's bad news. This is a casting guy. And he's like, the good news is, no, he's like, the bad news is you're not going to be cast in Stomp at this point. And I was like, but that's all I ever heard. So I was like, yeah, I figured, you know, and he's like, but the good news is you're on a very short list of people. I'm like, anyway, nice to meet you. You know, like I hung up, like I'll never hear from them again. And my friend was doing another rock musical, Jesus Christ Superstar, and in Detroit. And he was like, he's like, dude, get the fuck out of New York City for the summer. Stop working at Ellen Stardust Diner in Times Square, which was like the worst experience of my life. He's like, you could come out. We're doing this program where they're bringing Broadway stars out to mentor local theater kids, and they can be in a production with these Broadway stars. I'm like, but I've never been on Broadway. And he's like, they don't know that, you know? And he's like, you were in Hair. I'm like, hey, that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? We were just on a Greyhound bus with a bunch of like drug addicts, you know what I mean? Like, but so that's what I had to bring to teach these kids. But so I went and did, when I didn't get in Stomp, I went and did this production, and he was like, it's gonna be at the Fox Theater in downtown Detroit. It's got so much funding behind it. Well, I got there and he's like, change of plans. They found asbestos in the Fox Theater, so they're tearing the roof out, and we're gonna be in Livonia, Michigan at the Louis E. Schmidt Auditorium. And I'm like, what? And he's like, you're staying in a Comfort Inn you have a roommate. I'm like, what? And and it was like on a highway, like strip mall. The only way you could get food, there was no room service. He's like, I'm like, how am I supposed to eat? We didn't have cars or anything. He's like, well, there's a liquor store across the street, across a double highway. So I had to Frogger across to get like an old ham sandwich. Anyway, but what am I saying? Oh, Jesus Christ Superstar. Right. Yeah. And so, and you know who's in it, coincidentally, one of the children he was a 15-year-old boy who like couldn't, I think he played a mute because he couldn't sing, but my friend thought he was a really good actor. So he was like, well, we got to use him. So he just rolled around all the time. And was like trying to get healed by Jesus. If Jesus came singing by.
Right. And, right.
It was Justin Bartha from The Hangover. The
guy. Really?
Yeah. The one that they lose in The Hangover.
How about that? Yeah.
I didn't see him again until years later on my first day of The Hangover. He's like, do you remember me? Like,
oh, he actually came up to you and asked you if you remembered him?
Yeah.
Oh, that's which funny.
Cool. I know. So anyway, it was opening night of Jesus Christ Superstar. And I got a call and it was like, hey, Dan, can you come in tomorrow morning for a callback for Stomp? Because someone's not working out.
And you're in Michigan at this point.
I'm in Michigan. The next night is opening night of at the Louis E. Schmidt Auditorium where the E dangled. Did I mention that? That the E
was, you did not.
Yeah. We pulled up to the auditorium and the E was like, just swinging. I'm like, fucking life.
Dan, this is a movie, man.
Come on. I lived it. And so they call and they're like, can you be here tomorrow? And because the Stomp cast were hired for 6 weeks to learn Stomp. That's how long they knew it would take to learn Stomp. A whole month had gone by. Like, I'd been waiting tables, gone to the Louis E. Schmidt, and they were like, I go, I'm in Michigan. I can't, you know, and they're like, well, Dan, we're only bringing in one other guy. You have a 50-50 chance of getting this part because they're going to fire this kid that they hired to play your part. So I had to call my mom because I had no money. You know what I mean? I was like 24 or 25, and I'm like, Mom, I think I can get whatever. And she's like, absolutely. And, you know, like paid for my day of flight, which was like $800 or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I flew to New York that morning, tried out. It was like a 4-hour audition again. I was like, I thought I was on a short list. You know what I mean?
Right.
Didn't they? Whatever. Left. And the other guy that I was up against, they said something like, well, Dan, we want to thank you for coming in. We know you have to get back to Livonia to do your show. Right.
They're trying not to laugh when they say it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then they're like, we're going to thank you for flying in. And Peter, the other guy that was in for it, they're like, we obviously feel an allegiance to you because this is your 7th callback. You know, I mean, the 7th time he'd almost gotten it. This was like, whatever. Yeah. He was way ahead of me in terms of like almost getting it. And I walked out and I'm like, how am I going to pay my mom back? This sucks, you know? And And I landed at the airport and checked my little pager, and it was a message from the casting guy. And he's like, hey, Dan, you're probably on your way to the performance, and we just wanted to thank you so much for coming in and want to see if you can be here Monday to join the cast of Stomp. And I was like, like running through the airport like a lunatic, like, and got to the play, and I was like, I quit. You know, like, So I did that first weekend.
Oh, my
weekend.
God. Was your friend pissed off at you?
No, because he was great. He was like, yeah. He was directing it. So he goes, I'll just play your part. I was playing like King Herod. I had one funny song, and that was the only scene I was in. So it didn't. He just did my part, and it's probably better anyway. So then I got in Stomp. And
oh, my God. So you were in Stomp. Was that considered Broadway?
Off-Broadway.
Off-Broadway.
I know.
Okay.
But what's crazy is they'd been rehearsing a month, so I had to learn it in 2 weeks. And then go on.
Major part too? Or?
Well, there's only eight people, and all pretty much equal. I mean, they're people that have different, you know, personalities and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a great show. I mean, you really should see it. People think they've seen it by clips on TV, but it's one of those shows that's just amazing.
Yeah, it's just nothing that I've ever really, you know, it's not that like I hate musicals or hate, you know, productions like that. It's just that it's never been really on my radar. Like it's never been a thing where I go, I want to see that, you know, you know what I'm saying?
People get the wrong idea and think that they'll get a headache and it's going to be banging pots and pans for like an
hour and
a half.
No, not at all. Like that's,
I just burped right into the mic.
Cause that is fine.
Courtesy of Jimmy John's sponsor along with the fan.
Yeah.
No, it's good. You should see it. I've never met anyone that wasn't like walking out psyched that they just saw this.
Sure.
Because it's funny and amazing and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But, and then I did it for like
that's
a couple weeks in New York.
Man, that's an amazing story.
Went to California, and that's what brought me to LA eventually. Is that,
so you were touring with the production,
we did like 2 months in LA as a sit down, and then started touring like a month in each city. You know what I mean? And that's how I met my wife, because she came to opening night.
Really?
Yeah.
And your wife, of course, is
Lou Diamond Phillips.
It's legal now.
It is legal.
Yeah. So. It's legal throughout the nation.
All across the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ireland had
amazing
to
news.
Do it first.
Yeah, of course.
Which is good.
Yeah. So how does the, I mean, you guys featured in your band, the Dan Band, featured in Old School. How does that all come about? Like, was that while you guys were in LA doing the Stomp thing? And
no, well, so then I did Stomp for a year, and
The band started after that.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. Yep. Because and my wife was like, basically, we were just still dating, and she was like, "Are you gonna stay in Stomp forever? Like, you got to make a plan." Because I'm not dating some guy who's like on the road for 2 years. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I moved to LA, and when I opened for my friend Susie, who was like, "I need a fake opener." My wife said, "That's the funniest thing you do. Like, you were just so funny singing, you know, and that's what's gonna get you noticed." And I'm like, "You're crazy! I'm just drunk singing 'I Am Woman.'" And she's like, "Trust me, it's gonna work." And that's what happened. And so I started playing at Largo like once a month, and
just yourself, guitar, and
it was
something
me
like that, or
acoustic guitar, I think a guy on bongos and keyboards. Yeah.
Okay.
That same group, like we did it. And then I slowly added like a bass player and, you know, got real drums and, did it for a year. And then that guy that I was on the sitcom with was like, "Let me be a backup singer."
What was the sitcom?
Oh my God. I was like a recurring guest star, but it was called, Migo with Bronson Pinchot, the guy who from, Perfect Strangers. Remember that? Like Elky or some shit.
Right.
Yeah.
What year was that?
It probably was 90. God, when was it? It was 96, maybe.
Okay.
97.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
Was it fun?
Must have been 97.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was fun. I did like three of them, and Ed Begley Jr. was like on it, you know.
Oh, cool.
Like, I played a young doctor who's like Ed Begley Jr.'s poker buddy or something. But, and that little Jonathan Lipnicki was,
of course,
the kid, because why not? He was fresh off of his Tom Cruise movie.
Sure. Yeah. Jerry Maguire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Human head weighs something.
Right.
8 pounds. Is that what he said?
Yeah. Something like that. That was his famous line.
Yeah.
Right.
Probably still
and is. I just remember thinking when I heard that line, it was like, the only reason they gave this kid that line is because his head is huge.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Enormous. It was huge. It was enormous, like Thanksgiving parade. It's fucking terrifying. Just kidding. But, yeah, so then I started doing, and McGee, the director, came. His girlfriend had started the Pussycat Dolls, so he came to the show and he was like, "What the fuck? Who are you? Like, what are you doing with this? Like, let's try to do something with this."
Yeah.
So eventually, like, he would come to the show all the time and bring people, and he had a deal at Warner Brothers, and so we pitched a pilot to do a sitcom based on this regular guy singing girl songs, you know. And
yeah,
we sold it to ABC, picked it up. We sold a script and shot a pilot with like Gerald McCraney playing my dad, who, remember him from Simon and Simon, or Major Dad.
Yep. Totally. And it was the bald, like, guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was very like, you know, I kept saying like, just don't make me like the guy, like some John Goodman guy, in, you know, in flannel with some young hot girlfriend that I'd never get in real life. I was really thinking Jim Belushi. Like, and they're like, no, it's McGee. We're gonna be edgy. It's gonna be like Flight of the Conchords. I'm like, that's perfect. Like, let's go that way. And then, but then ultimately it was the Drew Carey people, and they're like, try on this flannel shirt, you know. And they're like, and this is Emily Deschanel. She's gonna play your girlfriend.
Oh my god, that was girl from Bones.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god.
And she's great. She was funny. Yeah. Awesome. But I was like,
but it was like the exact thing that you.
She's 10 years younger than me and like out of my league, you know. But it was fun to shoot it. But so McGee, then he brought Todd Phillips. Like, he had a big birthday party and all these people came and he had the Dan Band play. And so Todd Phillips was like, what the fuck? I'm doing this movie and I need a wedding singer, because the script just said a wedding singer sings, you know.
He's like,
what would you sing at a wedding? And I'm like, well, I'm working on this medley of Total Eclipse of the Heart and Private Dancer that I'm trying to put into the show. And he was like,
now, were you doing at that point, were you inserting the F word every other line?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it wasn't even strategic. It's more rhythmic to me.
Sure.
Like Tourette's, cause I couldn't swear growing up at all.
Right.
Cause I was an altar boy and like strict house. And the minute my parents dropped me off at college, like the car pulled away and I was like, fuck, like,
fuck, so, cunt, bitch,
yeah,
motherfucker. Yeah.
It was just total Tourette's. And, so
love it.
Yeah. So on the set, we went to record, like we were just doing like a scratch vocal or something. And he was great, cause I was like, can I please sing it live? Cause it's so gross when people lip sync, you can always tell. And he's like, yeah, we'll sing it live, but let's just, in case there's a soundtrack, record it. And
yeah,
I went to start singing it and he was like on the button. He's like, wait, stop. And I'm like, what? And he goes, aren't you going to swear? And I'm like, am I allowed to? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, buckle the fuck up, you know? And like, and then I just started swearing. And, so then from that, I was doing my show and I'm still, the show was growing. I was adding songs. Like,
yeah.
The choreography got more ridiculous because I was always trying to one up myself, you know, like, we got to make it better than the last song. And like, we need hula hoops. We need, you know, ribbons and all the gymnastic ribbons and all this shit. And, my wife knocked on the dressing room door and she was like, Steven Spielberg and Kate Capshaw are here to see you. And I'm like, shut up. And she's like, I'm a good one. She goes, just look. And she opened the door and there they were. And they walked in and I'm like, what is fucking happening right now? And like,
oh my God.
And he goes, Dan, my wife Kate and I saw you in Old School. My company DreamWorks produced Old School and a bunch of them were coming tonight. So we asked if we could tag along. Like, they're going to say no to Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, of course.
And, he's like, we really loved your show and, you know, you should make this a film it as a concert special. And, I know a lot of people at HBO. I did a project there called A Band of Brothers. We could take it there. You know, he's like, I did a movie about a shark in the 70s. He's like listing his resume.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I'm
familiar
you don't know
with your fucking work, Steve. Yeah.
What? And,
yeah. He's
oh
like,
my God.
So he goes, let's talk about taking this in. I'm like, okay, let me mull it over, you know? And then
inside you're just like
peeing. Yeah. And he's like, you know, and I think you'd be a good actor. I want to put you in this movie I'm doing with Tom Hanks. I'm like, okay. You know, and then the door shut and I'm like, what just happened? And like, all because of drunk Zima, you know, and drunk karaoke. And that Monday, I thought he had a glass of wine. He's going to forget.
Right.
And then Monday he called, or he didn't call, but you know, the casting lady called and said, well, can you come meet me so I can at least feel like I saw your face once, because Steven just cast you as his part in The Terminal. It was like a little part, but it was still awesome, you know? And when I got to the set, they were like, Steven wants to have a meeting with his assistant to talk about setting up the pitch for the HBO thing. You know, I was
what
like,
the fuck?
Like, he followed the fuck through, which is awesome.
That's amazing, man. And go ahead.
I just remembered my first day on the, like, I went, they filmed The Terminal, was that Tom Hanks movie where he's stuck in an airport.
Yeah. It was a great movie.
Yeah, it was good. And, I liked it. And, my first day, I was just going out there, and it was in Palmdale, California, at an old space shuttle hangar, you know, yeah, what I mean, where they built this replica of an airport, which is the nicest airport I've ever been in, with like working vending stations. Like,
yeah,
the Burger King made real Whoppers. The Baskin Robbins had real ice cream. All the fake vendors had to be trained by corporate for each, you know, booth.
Really?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like, because had to do proper Baskin Robbins scooping technique. You know what I mean? It all had to be legit. So, but I came just to try on my dumb Discovery Store outfit, and I wasn't supposed to work. And then he heard I was there. So he's like, someone knocked on the door and they go, Steven wants you in the scene. So come to the set. And I'm like, what? You know, I wasn't even supposed to work today. And they go, just come right now. Come right now. And so I ran, and it was some bar scene where like Tom Hanks finds out that he can go home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and he's like all, it's an emotional scene where he's like tearing up because he finally learns he can leave this airport that he's been in for a year. And we're standing there, and I'm like freaking out, like, there's Tom Hanks, and oh my God, Steven Spielberg's yelling action. And it got all quiet, and all of a sudden, my stupid flip phone, it was like, wah, 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 up. Wah, 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 up, wah, up, wah. The Sanford and Son theme. And I was like, oh,
you're
my God.
Kidding.
No,
because
I'm kidding. Because I forgot that it was in my pocket, because I wasn't supposed to really be in that scene.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like clutching it. You know how you could just clutch it, and it silenced it? And they're like, cut, scream, cut. And the second AD is like, whose goddamn cell phone just went off? And the old bone pen lady was in front of me, and she looked back at me, and I was like, shut the fuck up. Like, I just gave her those eyes,
anything.
Like, listen, old bone pen lady, you need to back the fuck off. Yeah, anyway, so we ended up shooting it.
Yeah.
And when I called McGee, I was like, Steven Spielberg wants us to come to Amblin Entertainment and meet, you know, talk about the special. He was like, I fucking never would have guessed it. Dan Finnerty is the one that would get me to work with Steven Spielberg. And he was like sweating. He was all nervous. And as
that's amazing,
he
should be, man.
If, you know, you get to meet Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
And then we shot it, and it ended up being on Bravo, which was, not as sexy as HBO, but
still pretty cool, man.
It was cool.
Yeah.
And it's a good little special that never, you know, I think my mom has a copy. We were supposed to make a DVD, and then the guy who actually produced the DVD special, like, that's how he was going to make his money back. Like, I don't know what happened. He went bankrupt or something, and like, it all is frozen assets.
Oh,
like,
no shit. Yeah. So you can't even get it now.
No, you can't.
Oh.
I mean, there are clips online. I think, it aired a lot in Canada. It aired like 8 times in the US, but some kid in Canada posted it. And that's how I can show people the Bravo special.
Oh,
it's so sad.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to check that out. I didn't even know that existed.
Shit, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's how much research I do.
You're doing great.
That's a fantastic story, though.
I launched
Dan,
into
that
it too, man.
Amazing. That's
I was
amazing.
On a track.
Holy shit. Thanks. I mean, and the thing that really blows my mind too, and we're running a little long, so because I know you gotta get going.
Yeah.
But the thing that amazes me is that what you did with Total Eclipse of the Heart in the movie Old School has now turned into the ubiquitous karaoke version that everybody sings around the whole United States.
Right.
They probably do it in Europe too. I mean, that movie like launched this new whole, I mean, cultural phenomenon where people insert the word fuck into the
into it's the such song. A great lesson to just let your kids swear, because my parents were so obsessed with, like, I couldn't even do, like, you know, slang versions of swear words. It's like,
sure.
I couldn't imply that I meant to say, you know, frick was off the books too. And
you couldn't even say frick.
No, we couldn't do anything that was implying fuck or shit. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
And now I make a living swearing. You know what I mean? It's like, be careful what you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, does that blow your mind a little bit, though? I mean, do you ever go to, like, sing karaoke and see somebody up there, like, doing your version of Total Eclipse of the
Heart? I mean, I don't... it's been a while since I, like, dove in a karaoke bar, but I've seen it. And I get people send clips all the time. And
I'm sure.
I have guys that, like, come up to me that are karaoke hosts, and they're like, dude, you know, you have no idea what's going on out there. You know, I'm like... but, I always picture Bonnie Tyler hating my ass because, you know, like,
I'm sure
all the drunk dudes in her concerts.
Because your version of it is
fuck.
Way more famous.
Yeah, shit. I tried to get her to duet with me on this album that's coming out. Look,
really?
I swung that fucking plug in for our new wedding album. Yeah,
hey,
but
buddy.
I wanted...
It's like you're a professional.
I know. I wanted to... I was like, that would be so great to have a duet of Total Eclipse of the Heart with Bonnie Tyler, you know?
That would be amazing.
And I wanted to make it like a dance track, like a club remix, and call it Total Remix of the Heart, which is what I did anyway, but I did it without Bonnie Tyler. Because when her person was finally writing back to me, he was like...
Are you sure you want to say this on the air?
What do you mean?
This?
Why?
What you're about to say?
Why, you know what I'm about to say?
No, I don't know what you're about to say, but if it's bad, like, then...
It's not bad.
Okay.
Why, are you friends with Bonnie Tyler?
No, I'm just like, I get this all the time. People contact me after the fact. And say, will you take out that part where I...
Oh, no, I'll say it. Okay. I'll say it right now.
All
right. No, so they wrote back and they go, Bonnie's interested in doing it. She needs like 4 first class tickets and 4 star accommodations or something like that. I'm like, all right. I was like, it was going to be the...
You were going to make it happen.
I was going to make it happen.
Yeah.
Like back to me being 13 years old with my sister singing Total Eclipse, the whole fucking montage of this song in my life. I was like, it's going to end with me singing a duet with Bonnie Tyler.
Right.
And then he wrote back and he goes, but Bonnie will only do it if there's no profanity. She's not a vulgar woman. And I wrote back, I was like, well, I'm not a vulgar man. Like, vulgar is such a harsh word. And people are always like, that vulgar wedding singer. I'm like, well, I guess I do like grab my crotch and swear, but that's just insecurities.
Well, it's the bit, man.
Yeah, come on. But so I was like, oh, you know, it's all a joke and most of it's just rhythmic, just filling in the gaps of, you know, whatever. It's actually to show how epic I think the song is, not make fun of it. And
yeah,
he was like, well, she doesn't feel that Jim Steinman approves of that. And so she's going to pass. I'm like, oh my God. So then I found Jim Steinman on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I was like, not convinced it was a real Jim Steinman, but I actually love Jim Steinman's songs. Like, they're so epic and over the top. And, you know, like, do you know his...
No, I don't know. I don't even know who he
is. Like, he did all of Meatloaf's songs, like Bat Out of Hell.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He did Making Love Out of Nothing at All, which is featured on my upcoming CD with Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls. And he did a lot of Celine Dion songs. Oh, my God. If you look him up, he really has written all these crazy songs. And so he wrote me back and he was like, is this the Dan Finnerty from the Dan Band? Oh my God, I'm a huge fan of yours. And then I was like, this isn't really him. I thought it was fake. And it turns out it was, because I sent him the song I did with Nicole, which is Making Love Out of Nothing at All. And he freaked out about it and was like, I love it. I can't believe Bonnie said I don't like swearing. I your version's one of my favorite versions out there. And I was like, so excited.
Funny.
And then he forwarded it to a friend of my wife's who, like, it's a director that she worked with. And so she said, oh, it's him, because Kenny Ortega just said, I heard Dan's song with Nicole. Jim's sending it to everybody. He loves it. And I'm like, Bonnie Tyler, you'll be sorry, Bonnie Tyler. Yeah.
And this is where the revenge story begins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. Right. Well, Dan, thank you so much for coming to the backyard, man. This has been a real real pleasure and a real honor.
Thanks for sending the Uber X.
You're welcome.
We got along great, me and that guy.
Did you? Did you?
Yeah, he was nice.
They're pretty nice, man. Was he the one that gave you the water, the bottle of water?
The Voss water?
Uh-huh.
No, I stole this from the club I'm performing at tonight.
Nice.
Oh, shit.
Nice.
I hit the mic again.
That's what every time I go down to that club and have to do interviews down there in the green room, I always steal a Voss water.
You have to. It's rude not to.
It is. It really is.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's plug your wares, man. When can we get the new album? Where can we hear it? Where can we find it?
July 10th. It's dropping like my orange testicle. Callback.
Nice callback, man. All the way to the beginning.
Yeah. Just try to full circle it, so to speak. So, July 10th. And it's got, you know, there's a duet with Nicole Scherzinger that'll break your heart. I wrote a song with Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20 that was...
Really?
It's called Three Way, you know?
Yeah.
And we did this so that it's like...
Is he singing on it too with you?
No, because then he went off on tour and whatever, but he co-wrote it with me. I wanted him to just so I could say featuring Rob Thomas.
Sure.
But he was great. He came, actually, I wasn't sure it was him either. On Twitter, I like approached him because we met once at a premiere.
Uh-huh.
But then I didn't know if it was his real Twitter page, you know? And
Right. You don't know who's... nowadays you don't... You can't be certain about who's like
official
managing that stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
But he was writing back and he's like, come out to my house in Westchester and we'll bang out a song. And he goes, take the train and I'll pick you up at the train station. And so I was telling my wife, I'm like, it could be Kathy Bates with like a fucking axe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea who's really going to pick me up at the train station. And I was like laughing the whole way.
You're going to wake up with a 4x4
stuck
between
you. Well, kind of like this today. I was like driving up like... I hope, you know, and he's like, what's the address? I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I just got into this stranger's Uber X and was coming out to your house where I didn't even know. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm very,
I have a funny story. One time, we had Dana Gould on the show a while back.
He's great.
I love Dana.
Yeah.
He's so nice. And he was walking up the stairs. We used to do the show in our condo. And we would just set it up in the dining room, right? When we first started. And so it was like three floors up and there was no elevator. And it was in kind of a shitty neighborhood here in Seattle. And Dana is walking up our back stairs, and I just hear him down the hall go, and this is where it all ends. I was just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what people think when they come here.
Right. They just hear the door lock behind
right,
them.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Well, yeah, it was Rob Thomas, and we wrote, it's a funny song. But yeah, I wrote this for all these guys who would write me every day saying, mm-hmm. play my wedding, right? Which we get
yeah.
those emails.
Oh, like, I'm sure you do.
10
yeah.
to 15 emails, honestly, a day that say, we don't have any money, but there'll be plenty of,
right. yeah.
there'll be plenty of beer and plenty of babes. You know, I'm like, let me drop my fucking everything.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
down there and get a chicken.
Let me divorce my wife.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Leave my child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let me make an album for the fucking boys. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, that they can play that sounds, you know. You could, if you don't pay attention, like sonically, it's, I think, a sound album where you could slow dance to this shit as your first dance uh-huh. and the grandmas might miss all the innuendo. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
So Three Ways, a good one. I wrote a song with these guys, the guys from Train, Pat Monahan.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
from Seattle, right?
Is he?
Yeah. I think he lives here.
Oh, shit. I didn't yeah. know that.
Secrets unraveled. Yeah.
He's my competition.
Oh, the Pat Cast?
Yeah, he
Come
does.
On.
He does another podcast.
There's room
podcast.
For everybody. I know. I did his podcast.
Oh, you motherfucker!
I'm sorry. It's before we met.
Okay.
All right.
Was it today?
No. It was like back in December, right okay. before.
Seattle?
Right
Does
after?
He do it
no,
here in
it was in New York, and it was okay. right after we wrote the song. We got together, wrote this song,
oh, nice.
And then I did the podcast right after.
Yeah, yeah.
But that song is called "I Can't Believe I Love You," and it's it's so horrible.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a confession in there where the guy tells the girl her mom hit on him, you know, but it's all like supposed to be first dance, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then what else? I don't know. A lot of good stuff. On
well, there. That's great, man. So where can we find this? Where's well, your website and
yeah,
and
the danband.com. It'll be on iTunes. And,
okay.
You know, I think they're doing
July 10th.
July 10th.
Awesome.
It's called The Wedding Album.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
really
it.
Really milking it.
I know.
Just milking it.
Milking it like 6 years later. I mean, really, this should have come out 5 years ago if I was on top of it. Like
right,
when the shit
right.
was hot. Now it's like, oh my God, but whatever. It's done.
Yeah. Oh, you're doing great, man. That's you got some awesome stories.
Thanks,
some
man.
Amazing stories.
Shit.
Yeah.
Well, I have a new one about Dumpster Lady that I'll be telling at the next podcast.
There you go.
So there
all these stories yeah. belong to like
I mean,
other
these are none of my stories.
Met.
I picked them up along a different podcast. That's what I do.
That's great. Well, thank yeah. you so much, Dan.
Should we call it Uber X now?
We should.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Bye.
All right. We are back. Wasn't that a great chat? Oh, my God. What a story, man. What a story from Mr. Dan Finnerty. Excuse me. I'm burping. We had a ton of pizza tonight. Ton of pizza. Since the live show is now over, the sold-out Air Raid Live at Naked City Brewery is now over, of course. We're going to be posting that, let's see, in a couple weeks, by the way. But man, we have got, to finish my sentence there, now that the show's over, the live show, I don't really have to be sticking with the low-carb diet anymore, right? So I've just been going to town. Plus, I quit smoking, so now I'm just like, fuck, man. It's 6 days in now, and I am dying. I want to kill everything. Everything is dumb. Everything is just totally stupid, and I hate it. But needless to say, I'm eating tons of things that I shouldn't be eating at all times now. Great chat. Thank you so much to Dan Finnerty for taking the time to come up to the studio. Once again, you can find them July 11th at Joe's Pub in New York, July 17th at Aztec Theater in San Antonio, Texas, July 18th, House of Blues in Houston, Texas, and July 25th at Canyon Club, Agora Hills, California. Please do go see this live show. It is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. We've been featuring music today from their from the Dan Band's live album. They're going to be coming out with that new album here soon, so get on it, people. The Wedding Album, all right? Yeah. Yeah, we've got a lot of great stuff coming up for the Air Raid podcast in the coming weeks, folks. Let's see, Jurassic 5. Yeah, that's right, man. Soup of Jurassic 5. We've got Andrew WK coming up. Yeah, and if you like comedy, if this is the first time you've tuned in to the Air Raid podcast, go to the archives at www.air-raid.net. You can find all sorts of great comedians that have graced this microphone. Aisha Tyler, Jim Brewer, let's see, Bob Saget, Pete Holmes, Eddie Pepitone, all there for your listening pleasure. You can subscribe to the Air Raid podcast on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. Always helps in the long run. We're also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, and Cairo Radio apps, or just visit air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed. Keep in touch with by liking our Facebook page, facebook.com/theairraidpodcast. Twitter handle is @airraidnet, or email me directly at aaron@air-raid.net. And remember to take the pledge, folks. Pledge to tell somebody about the show. Tell them on social media. Tweet about the show. Send it out on your Facebooks. Do all that good stuff. Or just talk about it in conversation. Bring it up, right? Yeah, that's how word of mouth works, folks. All right. All right. Here is your inspirational quote of the week as said by a four-year-old.
Do or do not. There is no try.
All right, fantastic, folks. Thank you so much for listening this week. We'll be back next week with a whole new episode of the Air Raid Podcast for you. We're going to leave you today with, what are we going with here? Oh, let's see. Let's go with this mashup by the Dan Band's live album, off of the Dan Band's live album. This is Gloria. Let's do it. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. Don't believe it's coming back soon.